Cool. I think we are live. Our first ever live stream from StreamYard, whatever this tool we've been using. Hey, mate. Hey, Andrew, how you going?
Yeah, good. Just digesting the content.
It's a little feedback. Bit. And I actually, sorry, I'm just actually also streaming it, I think, to Twitch, but who knows? I don't think we have any followers on Twitch, so that's all good. So anyway, sorry about that. Welcome, guys. This is Old World Fanatics emergency live stream. Was going to be, if anyone's actually listened to our podcast that just literally went up today, we were talking about maybe doing a hobby stream today and sort of getting a groove for that for a lunchtime stream, just a 1 hour just before we've got to run off and do the kid duties. But we can that because, 20 minutes after we hit stop on the record last night, the FAQ went up and I went to bed and I didn't even know about it. Neither do you, I guess, but... Did you see Josh's message? Because he sent us a message late last night.
Yeah. About just when it came out.
But I was in bed by then.
So. Yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, no.
Ah, well, it's fine. It's all good. It gives us a chance to just, I guess we read it. It's all over the place at the moment. So we thought we'd jump on and do that as our own take on it. So, I'll bring that up and we'll just do that for the next hour or so. If you are watching, got a few people on here, which is cool. Hi, guys. Who's here? I don't know how to say sexy all the time. It's S-S-X-E. I can't remember. How do you actually pronounce that, man? Because you're one of our patrons, I'm pretty sure, but I don't know how to actually say that. So, hey, and hey, Gilthos, how you going, mate? If you guys want to chime in as we're talking, you're more than welcome to. I'll try keep an eye on the chat, but obviously it's always tricky when you're doing it as you go. Did you just respond to that, did you, with the hey guys, or is that Josh?
No, it was me.
Oh, it was you. Okay. Yeah, okay, I'll let you man that then. That sounds good. Cool.
Oh, no.
We're totally organized here. Awesome. Okay, well, let's get going. Obviously, 1.1, the FAQ came out. I think everyone's been waiting for it and people have been telling us privately that it is coming. Cheers.
Thank
you, Gilthas. $10. Andrew's Gyrocopter Fund. Bloody hell, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, mate. Thank you very much. Yeah, didn't need that.
Yes, appreciate it.
It's really good. Okay, cool. Awesome. Sexy saying it's the correct pronunciation. I love it. Cool. Okay, so we'll get into this errata. And I guess, guys, as we're going, pipe in if you think you like or dislike what we're talking about, stuff like that. Actually, I do want, before we kick it off too, I do like that, and I don't know if this is the same as the other erratas, but that they're, you know, the asterisk ones are going to be corrected in printing. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. It probably does happen, but I'm wondering if that's more prevalent in Old World because they probably haven't done as many runs, you know, as much, if you don't know.
Yeah.
So that's going to be useful because I remember the 6th edition one, like I cut out all the erratas and stuck it in the rule book, but now I'm a little bit hesitant to do that. So
that's what I was going to do.
Okay, we have to – we just got another $25 for the gyro. Okay, I think Andrew's got to get a gyrocopter and he's got to paint it up specifically for Old World Fanatics somehow.
Oh, you put too much pressure on me now. Too much pressure.
I'll assemble it. Cool.
let's
get out of this. We want to try and keep this to an hour, and you know us, this is going to be hard. But anyway, let's.
It has
to be an hour because we've got to go. So,
can waffle on.
Yes. I should change my name. So combat result, page 101. And Andrew, I don't know if we're confused as to what the ruling is referring to. Maybe you might have to look it up because I've got the PDF up here. So whilst in combat, so this is cool. This is basically saying close order is unit strength 5 or more. So you're getting rid of those little units of 2, but probably not affecting the lumbering a lot because they're mostly got at least 5 wounds. But things like the scorpion, I'm pretty sure that's a closed order monstrous creature with 3 wounds, so it wouldn't get close order. Is that correct? So it is affecting a few things.
That'd be the same with the vamps with their, wounds on the...
So
big
that's
deal.
Pretty cool. And in our current game that we haven't finished, you got 3 dwarfs left in my flank, so they don't get a close order. Not in this game. We'll start counting it properly in the second game.
No, no. They still get the Stromney Redbeard banner, but...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Heavy cash. I don't even know what changed in that wording around 25%.
Nah, there's some that's... I think it's just people just looking at wording too much, and maybe the wording was a bit... Yeah.
Maybe, don't know. Now, there's a bunch of here, and these are going to be very similar, where they've... just clarified, really just that you just need the majority of the units. So this is probably related to like characters going into some of these skirmishes and stuff and not breaking some of the special rules, which I like, although it doesn't affect my Tomb Kings, I don't think, because it's been annoying. So Chariot Runners, as long as the majority of the unit have it, then they still have it. And just correct me, Andrew, if I'm skipping on and I'm wrong on these. Evasive is the same thing. Nothing's really changed. It's just if it's the majority of the models have that in their unit. Same as Fire and Flee, I think, was that one as well, wasn't it? Majority. Yeah, if the majority is Fire and Flee. So that's cool because it's just stopping that annoyance. You go put a character who doesn't have that special rule and then people argue that you can't do it. Random movement. When a model with this special rule rolls, roll the dice to determine its maximum movement. This one's a big one. This is basically saying that, yeah, I roll 3d6 for my mangler, I roll 18, I only need to move, I can move anything up to 18. I don't have to move 18. Is that how you read that one?
Sorry, I'm going back. I've got the rule book out.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at the heavy casualties one. You keep going.
Oh, right. No worries. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think with the random movement, I mean, that's a buff to random movement, and there's a debuff coming up. So I think it's good. It just means that, especially with Orcs and Goblins, and I'm guessing with a lot of them, like sometimes you have random movement, like, you know, especially your hero, you put him on a giant cave squeak and he ends up going like your old triple sixes and he's off by himself up the board. Whereas this is basically saying you could, it's your maximum movement, not what you have to move.
Yeah.
But also, I'd assume it means random movement. You can move zero. Stay still, I think. There's no reason, you know, where you always just have to move. So at least that's how I'm reading it. Let us know, guys, if that's not right. Andrew looks in.
No, I was just catching up.
He's studying.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you reckon that's right?
I'm not a big expert on random movement because none of my stuff has got it. So I'll reserve the right to
defer. Cool. Okay. reserve moves, same thing. It's the majority of the as long as the majority of the unit have it, they get it. Which nothing much changed there. Just again, clarity. That's what I like. And same thing with Swiss Ride. A unit which consists entirely of models with this special rule increase their maximum possible charge. So this actually stops you doing it. You know, it's the reverse a little bit. It's basically saying, hey, you need everything needs to be Swiss Stride for the unit to have it, which I guess is great because it's moving. Yeah. And then we've got a couple of erratas on magic items. Basically, the Berserker Blade is making sure that it's the Welder is frenzied. I'm not even sure what it wrote before that. Is that maybe just to stop?
it might be model.
The unit
possibly.
And stuff. Or the more, and then the Bedazzling Helm's got a nerf to basically just stop you putting on dragons and stuff, which I think is going to help a little bit, but I wouldn't say, it's probably, you know, so I think some of the Chaos Lords used to put it on, is that right? That's the minus one to hit one, isn't it?
So it just says frenzied magical attack special rule. So maybe people were putting it onto their mounts.
Yeah,
so that's
which
adding clarity for the welder.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot
the
of
wheel,
that in there,
wielder,
which is good.
Wielder. Sorry, yep.
I think this might be the first time I've seen him errata a quick reference sheet, which is quite funny. Mm. So they just fixed up that bit around the casting roll. You have to exceed it, which is cool. Which I think most people played it that way anyway. So there's nothing much there. And then we get in the FAQ. So I like what they tried to do here too, where they put. If they've updated the FAQ, it's blue and it's magenta. Yeah. It's a new thing. So this one is, so as soon as this came out, ASB messaged me saying, awesome, no take backsies and you can't mark stuff. It will be very interesting. So this first one is, you know, if I mark a position of a unit, then proceed to move it before putting it back where it was and moving again, does this count as a take back? And they say, yes, absolutely. And I think the first paragraph almost in the rules is there's no take backsies. It will be interesting to see how people play this. I know casually there's a lot of people who just go, no, bugger that, I'll still do it. But definitely worth making sure you're playing this right, because I think if you're competitively, if you're in tournaments, you know, if you start moving something and, you know, there's no, yeah, you can pre-measure, but there's a lot more like, yeah, I think I can make that. I'm going to start moving it. I'm going to commit, even if, for example, the charge then fails, or, you know, maybe you can't move as far or you get blocked. So you still have to move the unit, but only as far as it potentially could. Because I guess this is where it gets a bit gray. Like, if you're doing something that you fit, you know, rule base can't do it.
Yeah. Because you're going to get people with like a little ruler out, and then they're going to be like, oh, I won't move the unit. I'm just going to get, because you can pre-measure, I'm going to get the ruler. And you could get people piss farting around even more so. I would say, as long as you don't take your hand off the unit sort of thing, or...
That's like chess.
Yeah, something like that. So just once you've positioned it, you're allowed a pre-measure, so the problem with this is like you're still going to have other ways of piss fighting around, which we're trying to avoid that, I think. We'll see.
I sort of like the idea that it's more like when you've committed to moving that unit and you can still like move it around, that doesn't work, put it back, move it around. But once you go to another unit or a dice roll or something, I reckon like that's a better rule, which I thought was sort of what it was saying on page 92. Yeah, that's what Gilthos just came up. This is saying you can take back as long as dice are not rolled. You know, I think that's probably fine. It sort of doesn't stop that. But, yeah, I'd always just want to make sure that that's, I don't know, you have to clarify it, like, you know, that it's not going to be totally... once you start moving, I don't know.
I don't mind the idea of once you move, you have to move to a certain degree. So if you commit to a move, you'd have to move, possibly. I wouldn't mind that, but maybe not just, you know, because you might not know exactly how far you can move. So at the end of the day, you're going to be moving around anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's going to be some cases where, you know, what you wanted to do couldn't work, and that's why you moved it to check it, like, you know, if it can fit in or whatever it is. So, yeah. But, I mean, it is saying you can take it back, but moving it again is a take back. So, who knows? but I think what Gilthos is saying, and you have to check, is you can throw, as long as you haven't, it's a take back, but it's not a legal one because you haven't rolled a dice.
Yeah.
Next thing, which I think is fine. Yeah. Cool. So he's saying this is marking, taking back is okay. Absolutely the opposite. Okay. Yeah, cool. Okay, well, hopefully that's good. But more clarity is always good. Can a unit, I'll skip the black ones, I think, because, you know, hopefully we already know those ones. How does a close order unit of just one model act as still a close order? Or does it act like a skirmisher? No, it's just close order. So that's just when you killed down a unit to one. I guess characters by themselves are still lone characters, I guess, so they're still skirmishers. Now, how did that come up? Gilthos just had a... Cool. I don't know how his comments coming up on our stream, or does it always do that? I don't even know. But that's good. It's popped up on the screen for me. I don't know how this program works. That's awesome.
With great power comes great responsibility, Gilthos.
No idea. Must be a popular comment. People have upvoted him. Maybe that's
awesome. Yeah,
cool.
Just don't want to see any naughty stuff on the screen.
That's funny. Does a unit count as being obscured when some of the models within it are behind others? No. Again, I mean, is that with models with more than one figure on them, or is that just skirmishes? You know, like if you're shooting at skirmishers, they're all classed as sort of the front rank, so to speak. So you're not like, you know, none of them. You can't argue that half of them are obscured. Is that all that's saying?
Well, that's kind of...
I think. I don't know. I've never run into that, but I'm assuming it's probably something related with skirmishes and wood elves. No, I don't know. Who knows? Magic. If a wizard has a magic item or special rule that allows them to re-roll the casting roll, but they roll a natural like one, can they re-roll that one to avoid the miscast? And that's a no. I thought I would have played it that way, but I guess I haven't come up to that situation.
Yeah, I would have thought too, but I mean, that's, yeah, the chance of getting miscast is quite low. So, I mean, to make it just a smidge more possible.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, yeah. No, I like the changes. If you see the double ones come up, bang, it's a miscast. You don't even get a chance.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah. 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 It's not even a failed cast, so which is what they're clarifying. So you can't even use an item that re-rolls the cast because it wasn't a failed cast. I like it. What happens? Can a wizard with a physical attribute that counts as a type of armor still cast or dispel? Yep. Again, I would have classed it. I think I would have played it that way anyway. Because they actually haven't bought armor or anything. It's just counts as. So that's
just
good.
Counts as,
again, they're just clarifying that stuff. So that's good. Mm. Movement is, can a unit that rallies and reforms during the rally phase move? Yep, cool. We've been playing it that way. To me, it was pretty obvious, but that's good to know.
Yeah, I'd like to see if you could march. I don't know.
Did we look that up and it was like you can't charge a march and you count as shooting?
Oh, possibly,
no, was
yeah.
It, you can't march. Yeah, I can't. I remember we looked
can't
it up.
Can't march. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, game. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It is in the rules, isn't it? Yeah, you can't. Can just do a standard move.
And can a unit move while locked in combat? No. I was listening to one other stream and they were just saying that's probably because it was never actually defined that you can't just move out of combat. It's just like it's like a holdover from just it wasn't. I'm just trying to think of outside of just them not saying that, what other things would have affected that. So I don't know. It's funny because they're locked in combat but they do move because when you follow up and give ground they move, so that's kind of funny. This whole definition of model and movement is a bit weird still, but anyway. Hey, it's a game. It's all good. does a unit that has to declare a charge due to being frenzied or impetuous have to do so if a friendly unit of skirmisher lies between it and a potential charge target obstructing its movement? So basically, no, but if the skirmishers had already declared a charge and were getting out of the way in some fashion, then yes. So but I guess then that's up to you to work that out, make sure you're doing it in the right orders, so to speak.
And
I guess it's not even in the right order really in some sense because you could screw yourself because all charges are everything's technically simultaneous. So if you had a frenzied or impetuous unit behind a skirmisher unit and then you were like, oh no, I'm not gonna, I don't need a test, and then you do something else and then you move your declare a charge with your skirmishers, you'd have to make sure you go, well, now you have to go back and do the frenzy test because technically it's simultaneous maybe. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
But don't you do impetuous – when you do frenzy impetuous, that's probably before declaring charges. So this thing, you're sort of thinking ahead. It's got rules related to phases that are – I can't remember. I'd have to check that. Feels like impetuous is at the start of turn, is it? Probably friends as well and stupidity. Thought, so yeah, he's probably right at the beginning.
One of those starter turn sub phase, yeah.
But you don't really know you're going to declare a charge until movement phase. That's a bit weird. Anyway, this is the big one. Although it cannot make a charge move, a unit in marching column can declare a charge. Why is that? Because if they got drilled, they can get out of it. So we've been playing drilled correctly, Andrew. So that's good to know. What do you think of that?
Well, I like it because I think that's what it's there for. Otherwise, why are you really paying for it? But there's obviously going to be a few people upset. But I mean, it's part of a game mechanic. You've got to pay to get it. So especially for dwarves, I think it's good because it's going to give you at least a chance to march.
I think you'll definitely see more of those marching columns with dwarves, won't you? Just to get up a little bit then,
Just for one turn. Yeah, I mean, the end of the day, you're only getting another few inches. But I mean, it's better than nothing, isn't it?
might also help. You know how, like you were saying in the podcast, that, you know, like sometimes you're running out of room to deploy a bit.
Yeah.
So the dwarves might be a lot smaller, unless they're getting charged turn one by some fast stuff that you didn't realize, and then you're stuck in marching column, which would suck. But
you're in trouble.
Yeah. So, but still, I think that's it's a good change.
Yeah.
I think the worst changes here are related to not changes. It's just drilled around. You know, it's not really the drilled issue. It's around, you know, that you can, use drilled when you get pushed, like give ground. I think they clarify it somewhere as well. And, you know, just obviously reforming on a for-by-go move is that those things are a bit annoying that you're losing and getting benefits, but that's not really related to drilled as such.
Nah. Agreed with, both. Everything. Yeah. All.
Did they say anything else in this eternally? Yeah, eternally there might be a psychological advantage declaring a charge. This is cool. With a charging marching column, for example, the unit might cause terror, or the charge target may already be fleeing. Of course, this isn't easy. So imagine if you had, small units of, small units that you can easily put into marching column, but give them terror somehow or whatever, and suddenly you're not having to commit them, but they're causing terror tests.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. So,
yeah.
Think about, there might be some little the old darts, not rat darts, but something like that, where you've got tiny little units of like five or something,
yeah,
and they're in lines to try and do that stuff. Yeah, terror darts.
Yeah.
if a drilled unit in marching column has to declare a charge due to being frenzied or impetuous, can it choose not to use drilled to address the ranks? So this is interesting too. So if you've got the drilled rule and you're in marching column, you have to use it to get out of it to make the charge, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, makes sense. It just means you can't stop. If you're a drill you can't use marching column to stop yourself getting out of that frenzy or impetuous state. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I want to charge an enemy unit, that is a, I don't, this one's dumb. I don't know. Yeah. Basically, if the large target is in combat and you want to charge a large target, but you can't get to it because your other units are already in combat with it, can you charge its flank? No, sometimes a charge isn't possible. No. I think that was maybe some beginners that just wanted some clarity on that potentially.
Yeah. There's no space.
Yeah. And then we're into shooting this. So some chariots equipped with large-scale missiles, weapons such as bolt throwers, who shoot such weapons? They're just basically saying missile weapons are always shot by the crew using their ballistic skill. I think somewhere else there's a character one around that as well, just saying, no, it's definitely the crew.
With characters, again, I think they usually state that the character can shoot because high elves were like that in previous editions. I'm not too sure in this edition, but if the character was in a sky cutter, they could use their ballistic skill for the they manned the bolt thrower.
Yep. So it's specific. So, otherwise, but it's the crew.
It was worded in that way. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Cool. So combat models in the fighting rank that are killed before they have a chance to fight can a model make a supporting attack if the model in front is slain? So this is the whole spear stuff, and they're saying yes. Yeah. So again, I won't go into the reading of this, but there's a lot of people wordsmithing that, you know, the front rank guy dies and so the guy behind him can't attack because he's not behind a model that can fight and all this sort of stuff because he stepped up, so then the guy behind him can't. So the cool thing is just how many models are there in the front rank and back rank, and, you know, they basically can fight until, like, they've all been killed if they've been killed before their initiative step. So I like that, which is how I would have played it, but I don't think we've played it in spears too much, have we?
Nah. So, yeah, if you wipe out the front rank, you can still continue wiping out the supporting rank, effectively taking those as well, which is really good.
Yeah.
Good wording.
How many attacks can a model with a split profile make if it's in the fighting rank but not in the base contact with an enemy? And this is this is where the model gets a bit dumb, but each actual, it's almost like each profile. Yeah. They really need to bloody define this better, but basically each profile gets one attack, which makes Cav very, like, it boosts them up a bit here. Because we wouldn't have played it this way, would we? We'd have had one attack, maybe from the rider, would you?
Yeah, I'd probably say that. Yeah. So
that's probably what I can't, and maybe that was just me taking it from an eighth edition, you know, supporting attacks to only get the you single, know, the rider gets it. But this is saying no, like if you have a you know, wide unit of cav, they're all getting that's two attacks.
Yeah. Which isn't, it's not going to be like a massive deal because, I mean, in the end, you're going to get the horses, so you might get the extra pip or wound or something like that. So it's
but
good.
Like demigriffs and stuff, like monstrous cav, I mean, it's pretty good if they're probably not going to be lined up massively wide because they're so expensive, but potentially.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, if you're getting a single attack, it's...
Yeah, there you go. Boars and demigriffs are better for Gylthos. Sexy said, does a Dwarf King on shield get four attacks? I'd probably... Like, this is the thing. Like, if you look at profile, I guess I bet you he doesn't because he's probably got the king and the... The bearers are in one bearer. Profile. But if you're actually saying, well, hang on, this is saying model, then this is the thing. They need to define that better still. And I'm just assuming that I haven't looked at the Dwarf King shit. Like, you'd have to open up and have a look.
That's really, that is right. Each model on the base.
But like, what about, I mean, again, it wouldn't be, you wouldn't have units of these, but you know, the ones with howdahs with like eight goblins, like the spiders, but I mean, you're never going to have that anyway, because they're not units of them. So I think I would prefer if they just said like a profile line gets to attack. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. One attack from each profile. Yep. Each profile.
But again, the
king
model. Is the king ever? I guess if the king's hanging out to the side. Yeah, here we go again, needing another FAQ from an FAQ. But anyway, because they can't define. All they need to do is define what model means. But they probably can't because they've misused model and movement and profile and armor value through the whole book. So if they tried to define it, it would fuck the whole book up even worse, probably.
That is that is that's great. I can see there's gonna be arguments now on that.
Can a close order unit of just one model claim the close order combat? Is that just similar to what is they've already said it, yes, provided that unit strength 5 or more. That's fine. Now this is where they errated that stupid thing about weapons, was it? If my unit loses a round of combat and either gives ground or falls back, can it use to choose a different weapon in the next turn? I think this was the one they just totally scrapped that whole bloody fluff piece about, just in time to throw away your spear or your broken lance and pick up another weapon, and then everyone got confused. So they're basically saying that, in other words, because the combat's ongoing, neither is able to swap one weapon for another. It hasn't fully answered exactly what happens with lances, and we might get onto that. I mean, I think it's pretty clear, but I don't know if you know, Andrew, like when you get your lance bonus versus when you use your lance and stuff. It might be further. I think they might mention more of that. Let's just go through first. Sorry, I don't know what happened My Zoom went stupid when I was scrolling. Let's go back and I'll zoom back in. Okay. Challenges. If a wizard engages in a challenge, knows and uses an assailment spell that can hit multiple enemies. Basically, this is in challenges. Obviously, assailment spells always just go against the participant. I thought, okay, so this isn't errated. Yeah, because this was in the FAQ, but it must have been written a bit weird. Yeah, cool. Elio's saying they clarify the lance bonus later in the doc. Okay. I just asked though, Elio, if you charge with your lance as you hit and they fall back and then you go again, you still get your lance bonus, but is that right? But what happens in another case where you charge in with your lances, they don't, like, you don't fall back, that you basically even draw, so no one lost. So then the next round of combat, you're then back to hand weapon, and then say you win that, they fall back in good order. What weapon are you using? Do you know that, Andrew? Like,
Oh, sorry, I'm replying to sexy.
Okay, cool. Anyway, they'll hear that and people can answer that case.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like, it feels like to me that if you're in a round of combat and having to switch to your ham weapons, because, you know, that's what you do with lances after the first, you know, round, if you haven't then forbigoed, but once you do a forbigo or give ground, you're not switching weapons. So if you've switched to your ham weapon previously in a previous round of combat, for whatever reason, then you're stuck with it. You can't get your lance back out.
Yeah.
I think that's how it is, but I don't know. So this is new. If one participant in challenge calls impact hits or makes stomp attacks, where are they directed? They're all directed against the participant in the challenge. I thought that was always the case, but then maybe obviously they've added it in here. So maybe were we just thinking that from old editions? I don't know.
Because impact hits, make stops type. Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but I can't remember. Is it not written in the book then?
It mustn't be. I thought that was always the thing, like everything's directed into the challenge.
Mm.
Like stomps and, yeah. Like if you're in a chariot and you take a challenge, you cop all those impact hits.
That's how we always played it.
Yeah, yeah,
I was just wondering if it's a holdover and it wasn't actually in the book. I have to go back.
Nah.
And then if one... This is cool. I do like this clarified. Again, this is probably how we always played it. If one participant in a challenge is killed, can the other models then, at their initiative step, basically start attacking the other person? So, and they're saying no. In that one combat phase, that challenge is like locked. Even if one dude dies beforehand, you can't then, yeah. So it just makes it simple. Yeah. And then we get to universal special rules. Does the Armor Bane X special rule apply to spells, like assailment spells, magic missiles? No. So basically, no, which is good. I think some people were trying to do that.
Yeah, so with an assailment spell, if you are using your weapon, but that'd still count, wouldn't it? Because it's Armor Bane for your weapon. It says weapon, I think.
Yes, yeah, and somewhere else I think they do start doing that.
Stuff?
Yeah. Got a little bit more particular in the definition there. Yeah, sorry, Plasma David. I did skim through some of the legacy stuff, but not fully. But I did hear something about that the SLAN has changed unit type, whatever it's called, troop type, from monstrous infantry to monstrous creature, something like that. So that's sort of screwed up what he can do. So Paul Lizardman.
Okay.
Although I have no idea if it's a good or bad change, but it just sounded like what people were saying that it was bad, but... Anyway,
yeah,
right. I'm just trying to catch up on your comments, guys, around the Dwarf King. I think, four attacks, one reach for the shield bearer, one for the king, but I'm not sure how the fart sniffer at the back could go to get a swing as he's carrying his big, thick king. there's no logic in Warhammer, but anyway, it's all good. Can a drilled unit redress the ranks before giving ground? Yes, a unit that gives ground is not a fleeing unit. So obviously it's ironic to me that you can't use drilled to redress your ranks when you give ground, but if you fall back in good order, you can do a full reform, which is better than a reform ranks anyway.
Mm.
I think you can, can't you? Yeah, because you can do that. Yeah, because it's an auto rally.
Yeah.
Weird, but anyway, is what it is. Mention that whole...
I was going to say, it's another good thing about drill then. Like, it's just... At the start, I'm like, yeah, drill, why do I want drilled? And now I'm just like, I want everything to be drilled. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's a good, useful thing. And even Martin, well, it even makes, again, we were arguing, what the hell, when will you ever see marching column in this game unless it drilled did what it does? And I don't know, because the people who were, we admittedly have been on the yes, you can always charge drilled bandwagon, at least I have. I just couldn't see what the advantage of marching column was if you couldn't do that. You just, stuck in it.
It's good.
And they do make this funny, this case that technically, I guess if you're in a big unit, you could basically get a line hammer to stop yourself getting pushed off the board, which is pretty cool. Do effects that modify a model's movement characteristic also modify how far a model with the fly X special rule? And yes, they do, because they've basically said that the fly X is like a second movement characteristic, which that's a good answer, because I was always a little worried that things like the my will be done and all that, you know, we've been playing that way flies. That I can get like, yeah, I can get like at least a 12-inch fly with my dragon and stuff, but I wasn't sure if that was correct. And then on the other hand, they've also clarified that, yes, you can't cumulative add two fly special rules. So that's cool. All good.
Sorry, I'll be back.
Delivery time.
Yeah, continue solo. My dog's gone off. No worries, man. Okay.
While he's doing that, I'll just mute him. Hopefully he sees that he's muted. Cool. Then if a unit with a Frenzy or Impetuous has two movement characteristics, basically... Does it have to use the greater? Basically, he's got to use whichever one helps getting him into combat, I guess. Well, he's back. I've muted you, man. Unmute. There you go.
Okay.
Unmuted you. Yeah, you missed one, which is Frenzy or Impetuous. You need to use your highest movement, like, to try and get into combat, which is cool. If a unit subject to Frenzy becomes Frenzy again, does it get +2 attacks? No, it's not cumulative. It's funny that they say that there, where really they should have errated Frenzy just to say, add the line that this special rule is not cumulative. Like,
yeah.
So, kind of think that would have been an easier thing to do. But anyway. Where else? Ah, now this one is interesting. Can a unit with a random movement special rule move around or past an enemy unit out of one arc and into another before making contact with that unit? No. Whilst units that move randomly do not declare charges, if you wish to move into contact with an enemy unit, it must fulfill the same criteria as any other charging unit during its movement. That's a big change to random movement. It's different to pretty much how it's always been, I think, in 8th and all that as well. But I think it's good. You don't get those stupid things where you roll high so you go around the back or come in from the side. You're still effectively doing a charge move, but you're just not declaring charges or getting charge reactions, I guess.
Yeah, I thought random movement, you could only go straight.
No, that's 8th. No, it's a movement. In Old World, it's basically whatever your troop type still is. So if you're a monstrous creature, like the Mangler, he still gets the, you know, he's got to do a wheel and stuff. But like the Squig Hoppers are skirmishers, so they can go friggin' anywhere, you know what I mean? So you could, like, go crazy and go around the sides and all that stuff, but at least now they're saying...
So the random...
You have to charge.
So the random's just the distance?
Basically, yes. Movement is for that turn, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I thought you had to pick away and then roll and just...
But in eighth, that's good. Yeah, well, in 8th you used to do that, but you could, like, even if you're sort of in the front, but if you rolled high enough and just one straight line and hit the flank, you could just do a flank charge and they couldn't do jack about it. But now they're saying here is if you're in the front, you have to go into the front.
Yeah.
So that's good. It just stops some of that stupidity.
Yeah.
How far does a unit with random movement give ground? 2 inches. That's cool. Can two regen saves be combined? No. So again, just, you know, be better if they just dump that cumulative section and just wrote it in separate.
Yeah, yeah.
They probably should just switch it and say no rules are cumulative except the ones that we list. I don't know. Might have been easier. Yeah.
It would have been.
So I'm just seeing if there's no more comments. That's cool. If a unit with stupidity special rule fails its leadership test, how long is it stupid for? Unit tests for stupidity in each of their start of turn subphases. Unless they engage in combat, by extension, a unit that fails a stupidity test remains stupid only until it passes a subsequent test. I mean, yep, that's fine. I'm not sure why that was... I don't know if anyone knows why that was asked as such. I mean, obviously, they must have had questions, but maybe...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe... anyway, it is what it is. If a unit of skirmishers succumbs to stupidity, in which direction do they move? They should continue moving in the general direction they moved the previous turn, or if they did not move in the previous turn, towards the nearest enemy unit. Weird. It makes sense. Is the skirmish, is the stupidity rule, remember we were talking about this when you failed it with your, like, was it your Terrorgeist? No, not Terrorgeist. What was it? The your guy on the, with the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. My Mortis engine. Yeah. The four-up ward gave him the Necromancer stupidity.
Yeah, and what did the ruling say again? That wasn't a bit... We weren't even sure 100% what... Was it just... Did it just say move forward or just say move? All they can do is just move up. Oh, can't, or do they even have to move up to their movement? Like, this sort of says, yes, they have to, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it might just say move forward, but it might not say how much.
I mean, I don't know. Something like that. It's annoying to switch between books here. So it was a bit ambiguous, I remember.
It was a bit ambiguous.
Yeah. Swiss stride enables a model to move further during a charge move than its maximum possible charge range. Why is that? Yeah, okay. They give you a bit of fluff here that because models with this special rule delight in running down cowards who flee before a charge. Yeah, it is what it is. I think that whole plus three, plus six just confused people. But, I mean, I think it makes sense once you know what you're doing with it. To me, it just – the real reason is it gives Cav way more chance of actually getting in those long charges, but does prevent how far someone can charge in terms of declaring a charge in the first place. So I think that, you know, I think
it's it just says move straight ahead. It doesn't say – doesn't say how much. It just says
like, can I do 1 inch? Can I do half inch? Can I do 0.111 hair of a move? Like, it's a bit.
Yeah.
It's another one where I reckon a lot of us are just taking what we used to know, which is move it. They move their full distance straight ahead or whatever. Which may not be true.
Yeah.
Characters. A character mounted on a ridden monster or chariot can choose to use their own or their mount's armor value, whichever is better. If the character wears magic armor, but I choose to use the mount's value, armor value, can I still claim other benefits by conferred by the magic armor? No, you must use... I thought someone was coming. No, you must use a magic item fully or not at all. So that's the Armor of Ages, which has pretty much been clarified anyway. So that's good to know. Yeah, so... That's all good.
Yeah.
If a character mounted on a ridden monster carries a shield, does that improve the mount's armor? No. So I guess most people started to realize that. I was wrong on that initially when I was first reading it, but ages ago. But makes sense.
Yeah.
I like this one. If a warband character joins a unit that isn't warband, does the unit's rank bonus modify their leadership? No. So really, warband is a unit rule, really, isn't it? And then... the warband character, it's like the loner character and a loner unit, they sort of work together, and if they're not together then it doesn't, sort of thing. Probably bad example, but you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
Some magic weapons or special rules allow specific models within a unit to be targeted. Do such attacks ignore lookout, sir? No. I mean, that's the one that we all thinking, you know, things like the sniper rifles and stuff got nerfed because they get lookout, sir, and they've confirmed, they get lookout, sir. So I'm like, ugh, that's...
Yeah, that is.
Including a lot of the giant attacks are a bit like this, where you target a particular model and they'll always get lookout, sir. So it's pretty hard to grab like a dwarf lord out of a unit and kill it, I think, you know, stuff like that. Bit of a shame. I like some of the sniper rifle.
Yes.
Like the Empire... Was it the Hockland? But anyway. You'll see him.
The Hocklands.
Do special rules conferred by a model's weapon apply to attacks made by that model's mount? No. And I guess that's what you're sort of referring to about the armor bane X and stuff. They've got a couple of examples here. I won't go through them, but they're just trying to really break apart the mount and the bearer and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing surprising there for you.
No.
Monsters have weapons with... Some monsters have weapons with notes that stack. They must make or may choose to make one attack or one additional attack with that weapon in combat. Can they make more than one attack? So this is the the doppelganger FAQ. Know if it's noted on a weapons profile that the model must make a specific number of attacks, then that's all they get. So basically, yeah, you're not getting multiples of that one if it just says single.
So your monster tails and whatnot.
Or one additional attack. Okay, so there's a flail in the Tomb King one that is D6 attacks, for example. That's fine for use with the Spectral Doppelganger, hey, because it's D6 attacks and you get 2D6 attacks worth, do you, or not? No, so that's because it's not one attack or one additional attack, it's just D6 attack. So how would that one work?
So this is talking about the monsters. So you know how the monsters have got like a tail attack?
Oh, monsters have weapons. Like that. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So your monsters have got a singular, you know, you'll have two profiles sometimes for your weapon attacks.
Oh, so yeah, I'm like thinking claws, about that other and then one. They might have like a single
tail
yeah,
attack.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. Yep, that's like the Tomb King's, the poison one or what the, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused with that other question somewhere about the Spectral Doppelganger one. Can a model armed with two hand weapons choose to fight with just one weapon? Yes, it can, so that's fine. When can a model use a lance? During any turn in which it charged or counts as having charged, which is what Elio was talking about, and which I still think there might be some debate about. It'd probably be the new drilled debate. That the lances is not totally. Anyway, here's what it is. Can a missile weapon be used in combat? No. Okay. Cool. War machines. Can a cannon be shot in such a way as to hit an enemy unit that is engaged in combat with a friendly unit? No. So that's fine. Can a war machine shooting using the ballistic skill of a character that joined it? No. Because a war machine is treated as a single model, you must use the crew's BS. And I guess that's overridden by some of these other characters, like engineers.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I'm
sort of glad they did this because people were whinging about this a little bit. If you're playing 2,000 points, you get 2,000 army composition. Doesn't matter if you only got 1,997 points or whatever. You know, like it's pretty obvious, I thought, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Does an allied contingent have to abide by the restrictions given in the army composition list it's drawn from? Yes. Okay, so that's because some of the commas. Hang on, and look, it is drawn from. So is that saying so? If you're pulling from a army of infamy with core 33%, then your contingent has to have 33% core. Is that what it's saying? I would have thought so.
Yeah, well, that's the way, I've read it. It's like, it's like a little miniature army that you need to bring. So
Cool. That makes sense. Laws of magic. If a unit upon which earthen ramparts has been cast is obliged to declare a charge, must it do so? If so, can it make a charge move? So, yes, it has to declare a charge, but it can't move, obviously, because earthen ramparts can't actually charge. So I think that's probably pretty fine.
Yeah, it's fair.
Can a unit upon which earthen ramparts have been cast make a countercharge? No, because you can't charge. Therefore, a countercharge is a charge. Okay. Right, yeah.
More deliveries. I'll be back.
Oh, right. No worries. Maybe these midday ones aren't the best stuff. So, yeah, Sexy, did we get that wrong? I don't think it rings. Is that the, which one are we talking about? Is that the army composition one? Two extra lords on your... Let me read that again. If my opponent and I have... Oh, hang on, it's not that one. It's the one under it. Sorry, Sexy's just saying, I don't think it means what you guys said. I think he's talking about this composition thing. So does an allied contingent have to abide by the restrictions given in the army composition list it is drawn from? Yes. An allied contingent is a small army within a large army. Made using a grand army or army of infamy composition list within a 2,000 point army, for example, an allied contingent of 500 points would have to spend at least 125 on core, could spend no more than 250 points on characters, and would be unable to include any units limited to 0 to 1 per 1,000. Okay. Well, that's what I would have thought because it's its own army, but I guess what he's saying is it's clarifying that you know, your whole points is 2,000. You can't then say, well, I can get a Lord character. Is that what you're saying, Sexy? I think. Because I thought what we said.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but we might have been. Sorry. We are skimming this fast, so it might sound like we're confused, but yes, you're right. Yeah. Lotus Moon. Just don't play with allies. Solved. Yeah. Well, I haven't actually yet, so that's a good point. This is the probably one I got confused with before, Andrew. Can the spell Spectral Doppelganger from the Lore of Illusion be used with a magic weapon that allows the welder to make only a single attack? No weapons limited to a single attack can only inflict a single hit, which is fine. So those ones that are D6 attacks do turn into D6 times 2D6 attacks with that spell still, which is cool because they're not limited to a single attack. Is that right?
Yeah, weapons limited to a single attack can only inflict a single hit.
Oh, is that? That's interesting too. Does that mean though you get to roll 2d6 attacks with it? And if you roll, say, you know, at least one hit, you get a hit. Do you know what I mean? So you're not rolling one dice, you're still rolling 2d6 to try and get at least one hit. And as long as you get one hit, you get a hit. Is that what that's saying?
I'm a little bit confused on what it's actually trying to say.
Well,
so yeah, can one of them special doppelganger, the law of illusion that's used with magic weapon that allows the wielder to make only a single attack.
No, I think it's just I think it's only limited to single attack. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so what
Lotus is saying,
so what weapon is?
I think there's a flail in so it's annoying to bring this up while I'm sharing the screen, the same thing. So it's a bit annoying. One of the tomb king's flails.
Yes.
D6. I just can't remember if it's in the Ravening Hall or the Arcane Journal. But sorry, let me just skim it on.
But it says you only get a single attack. Yeah, okay.
No, that one, the single attack one is the is it the Mace of Hellstrom?
Oh, that.
Which is one strength.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yep. That's Empire.
Oh, sorry, it's not D6. Yeah. It's D3, sorry. So Crook and Flail D6 is
Queens.
A extra attacks D3. Magic attacks requires two-hand strike first weapon. So what I'm asking is... so Lotus is right. Blocking use of Mace of Hellstrom. Absolutely. But what about... what about the Crook and Flail of Radiance plus D3 extra attacks? Because it's not a single attack, is that still D3, 2D6 attacks with Spectral Doppelganger is what I'm getting at. So I'll let the chat answer that because I'm going to move on.
Good question.
Yeah, because it was one of the ones that people were starting to think about using because it's a pretty good, if that's how it works. But
yeah.
I think it got ignored and pushed under the cover because the whole Mace of Hellstrom abuse. Potentially. It's obviously not strength 10 either. It's only strength as user minus 1 AP. So it's not. It is strike first, though. Sexy just said, oh, fuck knows.
Yeah.
Some models can be found in one faction's army list, but can be included in an army made using a composition list belonging to a different faction. Dragon Ogre Shaggoths can be found in the Beastman Brayherd's army list, but can be taken in basically Chaos Grand Army. What list of magic items do such models have? And I have heard people ask about this because especially with these, like the Bone Grinder Giant and stuff is, you know, well, you know, coming from the Orc Arcane Journal, for example. So basically what they're saying is models can purchase magic items from the common magic as well as the book they were drawn from it, or the army list, I guess. So in this case, because Dragon Ogres are belonging to Beastman army book, they take Beastman items you can't put Chaos Magic items on them, which is cool. We probably haven't seen, I guess once everything comes out, we might see that more prevalent potentially, maybe, I don't know. It's probably going to be rare because, I mean, the army books are out except for the Arcane Journals. So, yeah. Is that it for this one? I'll just open up. Do you want me to open up? Do you want to chat about this quickly now, or do you want me to? Oh, we're nearly at the hour, so if we run like 10 minutes longer, are you okay? Or do you need to go?
Yeah, I got time. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I'll bring up just the other quick. I'll bring up the other two facts, FAQs. I'm not going to go through the legacy ones because it's hard to even see what changed.
Yep. I'm trying to work that out myself. That's what I've been going through. They're not very big, the Forces of Fantasy and the Ravening Hordes.
I do have a Reddit
small update.
It's either a Reddit or a Facebook thread which people have started to put the differences in from all the different legacy ones. So I might have to try find that and post it on. If anyone else has it, post it on the comments.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I had it up somewhere, but I'll have to find it again. So anyway, this is the first FAQ and errata for the Ravening Hordes. The Orcs, Gigantic Spider, add move through cover. Yeah. I don't think we picked that up when we did our Orc and Goblin review, but hang on, Gigantic Spider, it's probably because we skipped the mount, maybe, I can't remember, but it was obviously missing that. Chaos Steed, add countercharge to the Chaos Steed's list of special rules. Again, I'm guessing that's the Chaos Steed from the mount, so I guess that's just helping them clarifying that if you put that on there. I'm guessing this stuff, I haven't looked at Chaos. Hell Cannon, change the base size to 100x150 or and 25x25. What was it? I can't be bothered looking it up, but I wonder what it was.
Surely
it's
a big model anyway. I don't know what else it will fit.
I wonder if they just didn't even have it. I mean, I got the book. Yeah, bugger it. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Well, hang on, it's right here. It'd be interesting to see what it was. Yeah. It's in the Warriors of Chaos, isn't it?
Yep.
And it's a war machine or a monster?
Ooh.
They don't have war machines.
What was it, Behemoth?
Yeah, it's under a monster.
The monster?
It just says 100x150. Mm. It just doesn't have the handler listed. Mm. Gifts of Chaos. Change the second paragraph of Gifts of Chaos to represent these strange attributes. Some characters may be given Gifts of Chaos. A gift does not affect a character's mount, should they have one. Okay, so let's just lock that down. And each gift may only be chosen once per army. I'm assuming that's there. Cool. Okay, that's nothing crazy there. Badlands Ogres on the Arcane Journal just got the points corrected, whatever it was. Slaughterer's Call. If this model becomes frenzied as a result of the Blood Rage special rule, any units joined will also become frenzied. Cool. I don't really know what it did, so I'm probably bad at the Chaos ones. I need to do a Chaos review. And then Chaos Mutations, change the second paragraph to represent these strange attributes. Some models may be given Chaos Mutations. A mutation does not affect a model's mount. I'm guessing that's what it's doing, if people can clarify that. But makes
so
sense.
The, it's the Chaos, gone chaos book clearly got... the Chaos book was clearly edited on a Friday afternoon. Just trying to rush that out. A lot of chaos erratas.
Chaos erratas. What's that one on? It's the 111 chaos mutations. Change its chaos. Yeah, it's just putting those. It's just locking these mount things down a bit more by the look of it. Frequently asked questions. These are the fun ones. Not too many though. Orc and Goblin Tribes. If a unit of Night Goblins is engaged in combat, can it still release fanatics? Yes, and No, I didn't do it. I wasn't in combat when I did it with you. But that's good to know. Provide they place within 3 inches of their concealing unit and not touching the base of any other models. Yes. Cool. It's not a shooting attack or anything, so that's probably why I can do it. If a fanatic moves into contact with a unit that engage in combat. What's that, mate?
Oh, I was just saying no. These bloody fanatics, they're insanely powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it hit the units that engaged with combat as well? And no, so it's not. It's just basically whatever line passes through. So you can do those annoying things like I did with you where you sort of clip the back of the unit and you only get that one. Mm. Not like the old days where it did hit a combat unit and then – but there was even a fluff piece about it, like you know, going around between all the units and then popping out the other side. So they all took
damage. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All goblins fear elves. If a unit of elves causes fear, does this lead them to cause terror in goblins? No. Why would... No.
Yeah, so I think if that there's something, isn't it? If you cause fear and you gain fear or something like that, don't you cause terror?
You do, yeah. You fear a unit that causes. And you're causing, yeah, I guess someone could argue that, but yeah, okay. I mean, it is it's an FAQ, so that's fine. Warriors of Chaos, if a character with the Mark of Nurgle is mounted on a chariot with the Mark of Chaos Undivided, does the chariot benefit from the character's mark, or do I have to pay the points to give the chariot the Mark of Nurgle? If you want a chariot mount to have the same benefits from Mark of Chaos that its rider has, you have to pay the points to give the chariot of Mark of Chaos. Yeah, so they're basically really splitting apart mounts and bearers and stuff to, you know, their items only affect that. And then, the Beastman Brayherd. Can the Hag Tree Fetish be used to reroll rolls to wound caused by bound spells? No, which is cool because that's, you know, Ruby Ring of Ruin and stuff. You don't get to do that. Only the spells that are cast by the bearer. That's cool. And this is that question that was FAQ'd anyway. Can a Necrosphinx make more than one attack each turn with its decapitating strike? No. As noted, it's just one additional attack. Tomb King's Arcane Journal. And this is just clarifying the armor value. Chariots and monsters, it even says in the rule book that because it's confused, because it can be complicated, the armor value is listed there, and that's what it is. So they have a 4+ save, so therefore that's the save, even though they do say they've got shields and stuff, but that is the save. Like it's not armor and then you add the shield. So that makes sense.
Then you add the shield. Yep.
Yeah. And then the last one is
Forces of Fantasy.
I thought I had it there. I thought I had it opened, but I didn't. Here we go.
Here we go.
So, looks like Empire Steam Cannon only fires front arc. Cool. Haven't used it yet, so I didn't even know it didn't. So, well, I didn't know there was that. Now, the Laurels of Victory. So, this is the one where you're doubling your wounds for combat res. When determining your combat result, each unsaved wound caused by an attack made by the bearer of the Laurels of Victory, but not their mount, is worth 2 combat result points rather than usual.
Okay.
One. I remember discussing that with ASB. We weren't sure, like, you know, is it the model and they all get it? They're basically, again, they're splitting mounts out, which is good. Add the following to the wizard's staff, 0-1 per wizard.
That is. Can that go on a lord?
which one? The Laurels?
Yeah, so can you give it to a lord on a griffin or something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember,
that's
but
important.
Yeah.
Sweet.
The wizard staff is 0-1 per wizard. I think that's the one that gives you +1 to cast or something like that, but it's a common one, so people... And the one above it, I think, allows you to, like, stack it onto the same... So it was just a question of... No, so the one above it specifically said... So the one above that, I can't remember which one it is, specifically says 0-1 per wizard, whereas this one didn't. So I guess the question is, could you take 2 staffs and get +2 to cast? So no, you can't. Knightly virtues to represent this. Some models may be given a knightly virtue. Okay, and this is just a mount. I'm guessing it's the same, just the mount split out. They don't get it. A unit in the lance formation with a unit strength 5 or more claims +1. So they're basically giving the lance the same closed order benefit.
Yep.
Basically.
Which is
makes
good.
Sense.
Yep.
Elven honors to represent this. Some characters may be given an elven honor. Each honor gives a character... is this the same... Same issue, just honor does not affect a model's mount.
Yep.
Which is cool. Actually, the first ever one we just skipped over back in the other one, I just was remembering, was about the panic. I think what changed is it's models lost, not the unit strength or whatever of, was it models or not wounds? I think that was the one that we missed for that. You know that first panic test sort of clarity in the rule book FAQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't see what the difference was.
Heavy casualties. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I think it did change.
Yeah.
I think it was talking about unit strength versus, I just remembered because I did read it. Unit loses more than 25% of the models it contained at the start of the phase. It's models rather than whatever is in the current book, which is different. I can't remember, but one of them. Sorry, massive sidetrack there. Frequently asked questions. Emperor of Man, are unsaved wounds caused by the mount of a model bearing the laurels? It's the same thing there. No, only unsaved wounds caused by the bearer count. So it's just an FAQ on the errated item as well. Can a Bretonian army pray for the blessing of the lady if it includes an allied contingent? Yes, it can, because it does that because the whole army has the blessing of the lady's rule. Clarity on the bolt thrower. Basically, it's either the number of actual ranks, like one, two, like if you've got one horse, then two, then three, that's three all up, or three files based on the widest file in the lance formation, which makes sense. It must just been hard to work out, I guess. I haven't played with the lance, so wasn't sure where the confusion came in. It's good to have it Need clarified, Joshua. Though. Yeah. If a character whose mount has a different size... This is a weird one. If a character whose mount has a different size base to the models in the unit making up a lance formation, which is to join that unit, so I'm thinking... Am I thinking like that lady on the unicorn? I don't know. The lance formation offers a bit more flexibility than other formations. For example, it's perfectly acceptable to place a character such as a duke or baron at the front of the lance. In the case of a handmaiden, a lady of the... Lady, the shield of the lady special rule allows such models to be placed at the rear of such units. Alternatively, they can be placed within the unit. In this case, the extra base size will make very little difference to the shape of the unit. Now, I'm just guessing here. Yeah. Are we talking about, like, is that the one on the unit? Is that on a 50 boat? Like, is anyone can clarify that without me looking it up? Geez, it's going to make, I don't know. My anal retentiveness just says that is just, if they're not all the base, same base size, it's going to be so weird in a lance, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it would.
When a unit in lance formations engage in combat, every model on the outside counts as being in base contact, which we knew, but how many enemy models count as being in base contact with the lance? And this is where people are FAQing, like, you know, you draw a Magyarine line and that's how many, and they're saying, nah, that is the unicorn. Okay, Gilthos confirmed, the unicorn, 40 by 60. Yeah, so it is that one. So that's the thing. You got a 40 by 60 amongst 30 by 60s.
Yeah.
But putting them at the back, just ugly. I want to see Josh design his 3D printed movement trays to fit that in. I have to talk on the next podcast about that one. When a unit in lance formation.
Yeah.
Sorry, I jumped back into this. So, the whole full fighting rank of the charged unit is in base contact, so they're getting all their attacks. So a lance formation does not want to be charging a line of monstrous infantry or something.
Nah.
I get what they're saying, but man, it's simple rule to do, but it's just also, I don't know, it sort of nerfs it a little bit, I think, depending on which army. Like, if you're playing against ogres, they're all getting their full attacks in that front rank.
Some have multiple attacks. Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know. It's,
You don't reckon it'll make much of a difference?
Oh, I was just saying, it's one of those things. I would like to see, the width of the rear going straight forward.
Yeah.
Can all make their full complement. I think that was fair.
They've sort of buffed
what it is.
People getting attacked by them, I think. So they've actually debuffed the lance a bit more. And then the dead area in between is accidental.
Or someone's running, line hammer.
It's kind of crazy. Wood Elf Realms, the Hawk-Eyed Archer rule allows a Wastalker to target an enemy character it can draw a line of sight to and target specific models. Does this apply to magic items that allow them to cast a magic missile? No. This rule applies only to the Azurae longbow, hawk-eyed they may be, but that does not mean they can snipe at enemy characters with powerful spells. Okay, fair enough. The Wood Elf Realm rules, sort of like the Bretonnian one. They can bring this wood. If they've got an allied contingent, they can bring it. And I guess in order for Wood Elves to gain an extra wood, the army they are part of must have the Woodland Ambush. Yeah. So if you're taking an allied contingent of Wood Elves, they don't get this wood, which is fair enough. The Bow of Lauren allows Wood Elf characters to make a number of shots equal to their attacks characteristic. How does this interact with enchanted arrows? When firing an enchanted arrow, it is assumed the model is firing once as normal. Okay, so, yeah, okay, that's cool. That's probably a bit of a nerf. I don't know how people are playing it. Okay, so they're just actually, Lotus is saying this. The Bow of Lauren is one, is silly in my view, and makes the item go from decent to just lull rather than three. Exactly. He'd rather three Glaguard. So, yeah, because you're rolling like two sets of dice again, you know? And you're only shooting up to what, four shots. Yeah, a bit silly. Can a wizard with the Warden of Saffrey Elven on and purchase magic armor? No. Okay. Sorry, Gilthel, I'm just catching up. She's absolutely auto include, so strong. Oh, God, that's the unicorn. Yeah, okay. Well, I want to see Josh's creativity with his lance mounts then, movement trays. He probably wasn't putting her in there. He probably hasn't got
Gomo's anal retentiveness.
It's a bit weird. Cool. Anyway, well, we finally got it. We've been waiting
lopsided lance formations.
Yeah. Been waiting this for ages. I mean, do you think it's going to change? It doesn't feel like it's changing our games, but the clarity as definitely make it feel like you're playing correctly, so to speak, which is good. But just before we close out with this, guys, we won't be here much longer. Just let us know, what do you think of the FAQ, which ones they missed? Did they cause any more confusions? It'd be interesting to know what you guys think. Andrew, anything, closing thoughts on it? Like, do you think, like I said, I don't think it's going to radically change ours because we were doing drilled anyway, but I guess now you sort of know you can lean into it a lot more, especially when you're building lists and stuff.
Yeah. It's good the nerf bat didn't come out too hard. Like, some people were like, oh, you got to do this and do that because this is too powerful, that's too powerful. So if they can slowly chip away at it, I think that's going to be the good approach.
Yeah,
get that data up and just... You know, see how people are, and they've done that with a few things, especially like for monsters with the just like nerfing, you know, carry on of certain abilities or, you know, bits and pieces like that.
Yeah, they've nerfed some of that. They also did, and we can probably talk about this in the podcast or something next week with the actual article that was released with this, which wasn't very big, but I guess did make the two big points I liked out of the article just quickly was, one, that, yes, it is massively popular and they're, like, really pleased with that, so that's really good. But two, they understand that there's been a lot of little issues, I think, and it sounded like, reading through the lines, I think they're sort of acknowledging there's potential issues right now with, you know, monsters. They're not saying this, but, like, monsters and stuff, but because it's so new, they'd rather just FAQ some things and then keep it running to really find out what's busted or not, which I think is a good, like, you know, 10th edition of FA 40k was a bit, like, it looks like a really good addition from an outsider. I don't play it, but, you know, it needed full day one FAQs, and then they fully had to change a rule which radically changed stuff. Like, there was some stuff that fundamentally changed it, and then because they're doing it every 3 months, it feels like it's a totally different game, and I think it's pissing a few people off, like some of them. Other people love it, which is great, but I sort of feel like I agree with what they're saying here. It's like, hey, let's just keep seeing what is busted here. You know, like, let's not just knee-jerk it too much, which is good. Overall, Sexy said 4.5 out of 5. Lotus said, overall, the fact's good. Addresses some obvious things that people try to exploit. Still would like to see more items become infantry or cav only. Yeah, it's a good way to, like, lock stuff down. They only did it with one of them.
Agreed.
Oh, Gilthos, Plague of Rust, big miss. Yeah, true. Just clarify that whole armor save stuff. Yeah. And they almost did it with, you can't stack regen like you can't stack ward. It would have been nice for them to, again. My gut feel is what I said about all the other terminology, because they haven't defined that stuff great. If they then went and defined it now, it potentially might cause way more problems reading the book. So I don't know. Yeah, cool. Thanks for the stream. I can see Warriors of Chaos running some new lists, especially now that adding a Lord to Chosen Knights doesn't make them worse. Yeah, that's the, I'm guessing, is that the Swift Stride or the, sorry, the Counter Charge as well? Is that that? Is that what they added for the Chaos Steed, I think it was, off memory? Chaos is poor. That's why I need to get a Chaos Army and play it a bit more because I don't know Chaos enough. cool. Anyway, thanks, guys. That was our first midday stream. Again, went over an hour, which we always do. I think in another week or so, Andrew and I are going to start doing some hobby hour. So if you guys are around for hobby hour, and I'd love to get it to the point where, man, I'm happy to share the stream URL to come on. If you've got a camera and you can talk, and while we're hobby, let's get a few people on and be good.
Ooh.
Cool. Anyway, anything else,
great
Andrew?
Great power comes great responsibility. Just remember that.
Yeah, that's right. Cool, guys. Thanks for those donations, guys, right at the beginning. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll get a fourth gyrocopter for Andrew. Okay. Jeez. See you guys. Bye.
Ciao.